There's always something there. Even when you look around you and it all seems to have fallen apart, fallen away, there's always something there. There's a floor, there's a ceiling, there's a sky, there's a star, there's always something there. For me, many times, that something is cereal. Hello, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am your closest cereal confidant. You can trust me with your breakfast secrets. I won't tell.
he's delightful. He's discreet. He's Dan Goubert. That is the chant they do for him at his soccer matches. This is a cereal show. It's a meditative podcast about cereal. That means that for the next 30 minutes or so, you are given the invitation to just relax and take it easy and let your brain just think about cereal. If you find that you should need that, then that is here for you. And we are so happy to be there for you in that regard. We're going to have some news about cereal. We're going to have some reviews, and then we'll just cut loose a little bit. Who knows after that? Dan, this first story, just absolutely massive. I couldn't even process all this. What a way to start with all this info.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've heard of the Christmas creep before, where Christmas decorations start coming out earlier and earlier. And now we're seeing what you might dub the cereal squirm, I guess? Something equivalent to that, where usually right around the end of the year, these big cereal companies will tell you all about the giant lineup of new stuff they have coming out in January, just because, for whatever reason, January is the big hot season for new cereals. But usually they don't info dump this early, like at the start of November. And in the case of General Mills here, it seems that they're trying sort of like a phased approach where all these new cereals will be out in January, but it says they'll also be available at select stores starting in November, so this month. And all information that I could find does not specify what select stores means, so I feel like you probably just need to wait till January for all of these, but we can run through this extensive lineup. Should we go, like, least exciting to most exciting?
I'm interested to see what you think is least exciting, most exciting. I think we'll probably agree on least exciting.
I mean, least exciting is definitely a new WonderWorks keto-friendly fruity cereal.
Right. Yeah. That one is not extremely thrilling. The next one that I am most bored by would be Hot Wheels cereal.
Hot Wheels cereal.
Y'all, we joke a lot about these. We need a term for these, Dan. We need a term for, like, this thing looks like, what's the O's, like Honey Nut O's, right?
Right.
The ones that have the clusters in the middle.
Like formerly Honey Graham O's, now just Honey O's.
Honey O's, right. They look like Honey O's without the nut part or the filling part. They look like just big white Fruit Loops with some vaguely automotive marshmallows in there. It's very odd.
We're talking very vague. They have those little, like, they're like circles with inlaid stars, marbits, and we've been seeing those for years, since like the Captain America Civil War cereal, I think. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's like this one Onion article or whatever where it's like a long dusty trench coat begins its 37th season in community theater, and like these same marbits have been coming back to star in different cereals for so long now. And I don't know. There used to be a Hot Wheels cereal back in, I don't know, what was it, the 90s, that they at least made the little pieces look like wheels. So I feel like it's just another instance of just downgrading the potential of memory. We saw it with like the Buzz Lightyear downgrade from Buzz Blasts, and I don't know. This one's going to be retired to the junkyard of history, dead on arrival, I think.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, I don't know which one would be next least exciting. I'm going to give it to Lucky Charms S'mores, and that's for a very good reason.
Choco Charms.
If you are still unaware, chocolate Lucky Charms are like a prank or perhaps a trick. There's no good reason for the chocolate Lucky Charms pieces to be made from corn-based ingredients as opposed to the regular Lucky Charms pieces, which are, you know, dense and hearty oat pieces. I just can't fathom why they wouldn't just keep that formula, but it kind
of... It's gotta be cheap. I mean, it's cheaper to get corn.
Right. It just puts a damper on any new Lucky Charms cereal because...
It's very sad, yeah. Because this would be good... If you could imagine a Lucky Swarms oat piece that's chocolate, like, in a cereal like this, absolutely. Mm,
yeah, so it's basically taking the same approach that a lot of s'mores cereals take, where you have, like, a chocolate-puffed corn piece, you have a Golden Grahams-esque honey piece, and then you have marshmallows as well, which I think is particularly funny with these Lucky Charms s'mores that, for some reason, they also added in these plain, round marshmallows. Like,
yeah, like, we don't need... It really highlights how sort of inane the concept for the cereal itself is. It's like s'mores, and also we threw some Lucky Charms in there. Like, just have the strength of your convictions and let those be your marshmallows.
Right, because, like, of all cereals, Lucky Charms already has the strongest, like, artistic, artisanal marshmallow game. Why would you, like, dilute that with sort of the plainest, janest marshmallow there is?
It's like no one's going to poo-poo your s'more cereal because it doesn't have the... I mean, I guess that's it, right? They're going for the s'mores things that they feel like they have to... It basically looks like Madagascar with some Lucky Charms thrown in there. Like, is yeah, that's not...
Right, but like with Lucky Charms, they could have done like a toasted marshmallow marbit, I bet. Like, they have that technology, but...
I am jazzed about the minis, mainly because that's like the cereal... There's Cinnamon Toast Crunch minis, Trix minis, and... Reese's Puffs minis, which look about like it. It's hard to judge from this, but they look about Dippin' Dot size. Like if that's a good
Or like Rice Krispies, like
sixlet size maybe. I'm excited about those for their baking purposes. That is really thrilling to me to have something that could like would adhere super well to frosting or would be a cool mix in for something like that. That is very attractive to me.
Yeah, I was talking on Twitter about how like these will probably be more flavorful than their full sized counterparts just because of the increased like surface area for that flavored coating. But it also will probably come at the expense of like sogginess tolerance. But when I mentioned that on Twitter, like I got a ton of people saying that that's actually a positive. And you know, I think in the case of like purposely small cereals, like a Fruity Pebbles or something, like sogginess is almost kind of a positive there. The way it all globs everything together hedonistically into a delightful pseudo-slurry paste of flavor.
I'm actually really excited about IHOP Mini Pancake Cereal Blueberry and Syrup flavored.
Okay, so do you remember the lore behind this IHOP cereal?
Yes, they said they were doing it, and they revealed it like 2 years ago.
It was like 2 years ago, IHOP posted like a crude Photoshop box of a Pan Flakes cereal, saying that they were definitely working on it, and news was definitely coming soon, and then we heard nothing about it until suddenly... IHOP Mini Pancake Cereal Blueberry and Syrup Edition is now coming from General Mills. And I agree, this will be pretty good. It's not the first, nor even the second, like, blueberry maple cereal we've gotten in the past couple years. There was the Cap'n Crunch Blueberry Pancake Crunch, I think is what it was called. And then there was an Eggo Blueberry Waffle cereal as well. So kind of a proven lineage that this is a good, you know... and unique flavor pairing. I think it's mostly just interesting that when you look at these pieces, it's almost definitely just Cookie Crisp pieces, you know, sort of given the indigo treatment, but I won't knock it for geometric familiarity if it means we can get a fresh blueberry maple cereal on shelves.
Yeah, it looks good to me. I like that Cookie Crisp structure that it seemed to have. So,
but you know what that means, right? That we've saved the best for last, that we can universally agree on is the most exciting one here. And that is
Dan. This is the relationship that Dan and I have. Dan texted me nothing but a picture of this box, and I immediately knew, like, yes, here we go. Cereal of the year, blast off.
The question is just like, will we call this the cereal of the year for this year or next year if it's releasing in both November and January?
Ooh,
well, will its goodness span conventional time spans? But anyway, we haven't even talked about Cheerios Oat Crunch Berry Edition, the fourth entry in the esteemed Cheerios Oat Crunch dynasty, a cereal line that has done literally no wrong. They released nothing but 10 out of 10 bangers. From the first Cinnamon Oat Crunch to Honey and Oat Crunch to even Almond Oat Crunch. These have been nothing but like the best things the cereal aisle has to offer.
Oat Crunch is like John Carpenter for his first like 10 years of making movies. Mm-hmm. Like hit after hit after hit after hit. Can't be stopped.
There's just something about that textural combination of like heavily, aggressively toasted Cheerios as well as like loose strewn oats throughout that gives it this great gravelly mouthfeel, a prevailing toastiness, and just everything's really malted and great. I will say that berry is kind of like the hardest flavor pivot away from like the, you know, the browner, more decadent flavors that they've been doing.
Yeah.
The box suggests that, you know, this will have raspberry, blueberry, as well as strawberry flavor. So it's interesting to see how that berry breakdown might look, like what might be the most prevalent flavor. I feel like raspberry usually tends to overwhelm the others, but boy, am I excited to find out.
What else is going on in the world, Dan?
So, speaking of pebbles and texture, apparently both Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles are releasing a crunched variant, which is crunched without the E and then, you know, apostrophed and said, just to make that abundantly clear. But these are, you know, ostensibly the Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles flavors that we know and love, but translated into more of a puffed star shape. And to me, at least, this seems to be kind of a miss in terms of concept. Like, it almost seems like they're not understanding part of the reason that people like Pebbles so much, which is what I talked about, like the sort of pseudo slurry effect where you can just sort of slop it all down and it all melds together. I feel like this reminds me of, I don't know if you remember when Honey Bunches of Oats tried to release like an O's edition before. And yeah, it was just like, you're not really grasping what made your cereal so great to begin with. Like, I feel like texture is an underrated thing, especially when there's like a menagerie of different textures that work so well together. So to homogenize a uniquely pebbled cereal like Pebbles into, you know, I don't know if there's a geologic equivalent to what these are, but
for me, texture wise, Pebbles are all time. Like, mm-hmm. There's just, you can't beat them. And the only thing that I'm like, we don't know what the blend will be. It's a corn and oat thing. Maybe it will be, you know, if they nail the texture of it, it might be good. It kind of reminds me of Smurf berries a little bit. Every time I see a new fruity thing with like this structure, it makes me wonder if I'll get close to eating a Smurf berry crunch one more time. But
yeah, I don't know. I can see the Fruity Pebbles one working just because Fruity Pebbles, nothing really tastes like it. But
yeah,
another puffed chocolate cereal, like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I see this next story here. Are we letting go of our friends, the apple and the cinnamon?
Look at these new mascots and tell me this is not one of the greatest crimes in cereal history.
Oh my God, Dan. Where are they taking us?
Kellogg's has redesigned the Apple Jacks mascot for a new modern era. That new modern era. Weird.
No, they're like regressive. They were modern.
I was going to say
modern and fun.
The new modern era being that of like sterile clip art.
It's terrible.
These seem like the type of things you'd see in like your dentist office telling you to, you know, eat more fruit or whatever. They have taken all personality away from Apple and Cinnamon and given them these. It just hurts to look at.
Their characters used to be, for inexplicable reasons, a Rastafarian cinnamon stick and an apple that looks like a maniac, like a serial killer.
I understand why they took away like the Rastafarian elements from Cinnamon. That makes sense. But like to totally strip them of their humanity and personality and make them into stock characters.
His partner was named Bad Apple. Cinnamon and Bad Apple. And now they just look like the most generic. Yeah. Oh, it's so sad.
Good fruit and cinnamon stick.
I don't know. I always thought they were bizarre. It was just a bizarre, like, those characters just like, yeah, and over here we got Cinnamon and this absolutely insane.
Just think about it, though. Every single Kellogg's mascot basically has been downgraded at this point. The Rice Krispies elves have been turned into, like, melted claymation characters, essentially. They gave Toucan Sam man hands and pivoted back on that.
It's a disaster.
I guess Tony the Tiger's 3D translation was okay. But then there's, like, the Frosted Mini-Wheat guy that got turned into a total, like, village idiot doofus-style monstrosity. So
yeah,
I just hope they don't touch the Raisin Bran, son.
Dan, I'm sorry. I cannot wait another second. I have to know about some of these cereals in their review section.
So I finally got to try Kellogg's Frosted Pandora Flakes, the collab between Frosted Flakes and Avatar, The Way of Water. And I have some mixed feelings on this one. Obviously, first of all, the box art is incredible, as we talked about already. It really sets it off right. And
if we ever do categories, this would definitely be my box art of the year so far.
It's, I mean, we can do that. Madness. I think we should add that to the list for our year in review. But
yeah.
So I'm a little torn on this one because the whole gimmick here is that they added these blueberry-flavored Blue Moon pieces to Frosted Flakes. And I will say the actual Blue Moon pieces themselves are really good. If there's one thing that Kellogg's knows how to do, in my opinion, it's this fake blueberry flavor. Like, I don't know if you've ever had those, like, Kellogg's blueberry fruity snacks. They look kind of like the Covenant plasma grenades from Halo. And they just have the greatest, like, richest, gelatinous, candied blueberry flavor. And that exact same taste is prevalent in these Blue Moons. And, you know,
but the texture, though.
Well, the texture is whatever. My problem is the same problem that I had with both, like, the Kellogg's mashups where they put Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops as well as Frosted Flakes and Apple Jacks in the same box, as well as when they basically did this exact same thing with the Shaq and Tony's cinnamon basketballs, where I really like the pieces that they added in, but for me, and I feel like I'm going to draw a lot of ire from people by saying this, I'm just not the hugest Frosted Flakes fan. I feel like if I'm going to buy a cereal and pay my money for it, I want layers and depth of flavor, not just sugary corn. And there's just so much of that sugary corn in this cereal, this Pandora Flakes, that's diluting that unique goodness of the Blue Moons that, while I do still enjoy it overall, I just know that it could have been so much more if they had spent that, like, extra 2 pennies per box to take whatever same flavoring they put on the Blue Moons and flavor blast it onto the flakes too. We could have had something really great and memorable, but instead it's kind of wishy-washy. It's just like getting blue needles in a sugary haystack.
Yeah. What about these yogurts? I got some of these yogurts too over at my house.
Yeah, so General Mills was also releasing these sort of cereal and yogurt cup combos where you can get, there's 4 different varieties of popular General Mills cereals paired with different yogurt flavors, and they have those kind of like stacked attached cups so you can easily, you know, mix them together. And, I mean, did you try any or all of these? There's Lucky Charms, Trix, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, I tried a little bit of them. I didn't love them. I think that, the pairing of the yogurt with the cereals is to me not exactly what I would want. Like, the Cocoa Puffs is paired with a vanilla yogurt,
yeah,
which just seems a very odd choice to me.
I don't think chocolate yogurt is the most common thing, but they could have made that one like a pudding cup at least.
Something, yeah.
For me, I agree with you, because like the Cocoa Puffs is paired with vanilla, the Lucky Charms is also paired with vanilla, Trix is paired with strawberry, which is a little bit better, and I feel like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch paired with a cinnamon vanilla yogurt was the only one that really feels like effort was put into it. Because at the end of the day, for all 4 of these cases, you can just buy a big tub of yogurt, buy a big tub of cereal, and mix it to your liking. But instead, you've kind of got this clumsy, like, dual packaging that feels like it has a lot of waste, and, you know, you're not getting to ration it to your own liking. And especially with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, even though I liked the way it tasted the best, the cups are so small and Cinnamon Toast Crunch pieces are so big that it's like impossible to mix them without getting spillover. I don't know. It just seems logistically unnecessary. I get why they did it. It almost seems like it would have been smarter to make this like a soft launch for the minis that we were talking about, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Ooh, that would have been really good, yeah. Yeah, it just strikes me as like something you could do at home. Like I don't know, it just didn't, you know, I my kids ended up eating the cereal.
Yeah.
They would just pop open and have these like little cereal snacks. The Lucky Charms with strawberry was good. They liked that one. That felt like more of a concept than Cocoa Puffs and Vanilla Yogurt. Okay, this is what I'm really curious about, Dan. Please, you got to tell me about it.
So, another rarity in this world is an internationally exclusive cereal that people in the U.S. cannot get, much less an exciting sounding one too.
Yeah.
So, exclusive to the UK is this Sainsbury's brand mini croissant cereal with strawberry jam flavor. I was lucky enough to receive a box from reader Tim. Thank you, Tim. And this really illustrates the fundamental divide between what cereals taste like in America versus the rest of the world. Because, like, they just don't make them as sweet over there. And people get that. I mean, you see it with, like, Fruit Loops, too. Fruit Loops fundamentally are so different with, like, there are no artificial colors or flavors or whatever. And this mini croissant cereal, while I very much like the concept, I like the way the pieces look. They look like little grubs, and I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. They're very cute. There's a strong buttery flavor. The crunch is very strong, but the strawberry and the overall sweetness is just very, very light. And, you know, if you're the type of person who likes less sweet cereals and you have been eating less sweet cereals for a long time, I'm sure you would love this. But if you're like me and you have, like, scorched earth taste buds that have been torn raw by a decade of just excessive sugar, then this is going to come as like a wake-up call of, like, you know, just how far my tolerance for sweetness has come. I think as I make my way through the box, I will like them more and more, but I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, it looks very good. I love Sainsbury. My wife and I in November of, gosh, I guess it would have been 2013 or so, we went to London and Bath in the UK, and there was at the Airbnb we stayed at, there was a Sainsbury's right above us, and I used to love walking through there and just seeing all the products and how they were different, because I am a unique person that finds that kind of thing very fascinating.
Yeah, I think Sainsbury's is like kind of the leader in, you know, UK cereal innovation, because a couple of years ago they also had those mince pie wheats, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad someone out there is repping.
God, I would murder a box of those. Those are delicious. Here's a question for you, Dan. I've just begun my cereal journey in earnest and have been cursed with a revelation. Crave is my ideal cereal texture. What cereals would you lads suggest a Crave lover try out? History has deprived you of hidden treasures, sadly, which would have been a great cereal. Those were sort of like Crave pieces, except some were filled with frosting and some weren't, which sounded like a narrative justification for a machine they couldn't get working exactly right, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough question. That question comes from Will, by the way. Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will.
But yeah, Crave, it's very divisive cereal, first of all, so I'm glad to hear that you're on the right side of history with loving Crave like I do. But there's really not the closest analog. The only thing I can really think of, well, two things. First of all,
Philo's.
That's what I was going to say. Those General Mills Filled Bites that were kind of like a soft reboot of the Philo's line that I tried earlier this year, but those are kind of still in developmental and, you know, marketing purgatory, I guess, so it's not clear whether those will actually come out, which is a shame because those are right up any Craviac's alley. But the only thing I can really think that would come close would be like a Puffins, because those have like the pillowiness to them. They just unfortunately don't have any filling. So maybe if you got like a syringe or a miniature turkey baster and could pump your own peanut butter or whatever into those things. They did surgery on a puffin.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, we just got to stick to the OG. I mean,
yeah. Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast. We hope you have enjoyed yourself and gotten something out of this. I'm excited about trying some of these new cereals now. That's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a question for us or a comment or, you know, just want to share something, mail@bowl.rest is our email address. We also, you can leave us a voice message when we ask a question. Dan, I have one.
Please.
Okay, we have a market that is clearly underserved, and that's the filled cereal market.
Ooh.
I want our listeners to invent their dream filled cereal.
That's a great question.
You're in charge of Crave now. Now you are Crave.
Well, now you're just gonna get a voice message from Gabe saying he wants to shut the whole production line down.
Yeah, you're not the CEO, okay? You're like chief creative officer or something. You can't shut it down, Gabe. I'm sorry. But you can go to bowl.rest and leave us a voice message there on your phone, or if you want to do a microphone and desktop, it's all good. Just keep it cool. Keep it calm. Dan, who else do we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merch.
It's at macroymerch.com, by the
way. Yes. Yeah. If you'd also like to support the show, you can go to bowl.rest as well. Contribute any amount that you are able, and half of that will go to keeping my site seriously running, and the other half will go to a food shelter over in Justin's area of West Virginia.
We appreciate your support.
Obviously, if you can't afford to as well, we totally understand. You could also just share the show with a friend. We love to hear people spreading the good word, or maybe leave us an iTunes review, because I know I at least personally love reading those, and they're all very wholesome. You're all very, very kind.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and thank you for being here, for being yourself, and for relaxing a little bit with us. For Dan Gebert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as we always say on our show, which is called Don't Forget to Drink the Milk, I've forgotten.
The Empty Bowl.
The Empty Bowl.